question for us this morning here.
Well, I thought it good to bring y'all some North Texas fall weather, so enjoy it. Well, it's been a great joy to be here this weekend. It obviously just passes too fast, and time flies when you're having fun with the saints. So thank you for your warm welcome, hospitality. It's been a pure delight to stay with Walmax in their home. We got a new home, got a new brother and sister. And Conrad Murrell used to say, the Christian is the only one in the world that anywhere he goes, he has a home. So thank the Lord. And as we go back, we will remember your church in prayer, and we ask you to do the same for us. We're all in the same position, living our lives, raising our children, loving our families, loving one another, seeking to be a light where we are for Christ, and worshiping Him, walking together. So it's no different anywhere else. And God has you here, and He has wonderful plans to use you individually as believers and this church. So press on. I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The healing of a blind man. Mark 10, beginning with verse 46. Mark records these words. And they came to Jericho, and as he, that is the Lord Jesus, was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's pray. Father, this morning, save us from distractions, from physical weariness or drowsiness or anything, Lord, that would rob us of hearing what you would say through this passage. We look to you this morning for you to capture our hearts and our minds and to capture these minutes as we come to your word. And Lord, in coming to your word, we come to you, to the living God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the Holy Spirit, asking you to illuminate our minds, to open our eyes. Even as we've sung it earlier, we pray right now, you would open the eyes of our heart. that you would dig out any clog in our ears to hear your voice, that you'd help us right now, supernaturally, give us of your Holy Spirit to speak and to hear and receive in such a way, Lord, that life-giving reality, quickening grace would happen. Father, give your blessing on your word. We look to you in dependence. We thank you for the great power and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hearing and seeing. Bartimaeus. C.H. Spurgeon preached 8 sermons on this passage. I'm going to do 1. But you could easily do 8 on this because of all that is in it. This miracle is interesting, even though there are several more chapters in Mark's Gospel. This miracle with Bartimaeus is the last public miracle that Christ did that Mark records. Now, there came a time, we do know that right after this, Jesus is heading into Jerusalem and he will ride the colt in the triumphal entry into the city, and many will cry Hosanna to the King. So he's heading to Jerusalem to await his appointed end of betrayal and arrest and an illegal trial and buffeting and mockings and being spit upon, being cruelly treated, being beaten, the hairs of his beard jerked out, being mocked, being stripped naked in front of a group of soldiers, and on his way to Golgotha. So this is the last miracle before he heads to Jerusalem. Here's a man who has never seen with his eyes any of Christ's miracles. And all that the Lord Jesus did, he did a lot in Jericho. In fact, Jericho was a place that several blind people had been healed already. It was the place where Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to go to your house today. And salvation came to that house. That's Jericho. Jericho was a great historic city of the Middle East, about 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It was an important place to Herod the king. Herod had more than one palace there, and it's the place that Herod himself went to die. And so Jesus had done much ministry in and around Jericho, and here he's coming through again with a great number of people around him. It's a big crowd following, probably to listen to him, to see what he was going to do, to hear him. The disciples are there. And here develops, as they're leaving the city, this amazing encounter of one man, a blind man on the road. He could think, his intellect was fine. He could hear well. He could walk. The one thing that was wrong with him was his eyes were blind. He could not see anything. And he had never seen one thing Jesus of Nazareth had done. Many had seen miracles by Christ, and their seeing those unfolded to them was a revelation of the glory and deity of Jesus Christ. That's what the miracles were for, to manifest His glory and display that here is a man who is God. And so the miracles were confirming his identity. But Bartimaeus had never seen one of them. All that he could do was hear truth. But he had heard enough that when Jesus comes, what does he do? When he heard that it was Jesus, he calls out and he says, Jesus, then describes his title, son of David. That's a royal title. So Bartimaeus had some knowledge that had come to him through hearing, but nothing outwardly that he had ever seen. So here's this amazing encounter. Now Matthew's record, you'll find the parallel passages on these in Matthew chapter 20 and Luke chapter 18. But it's interesting that, and we're not turning there, but Matthew records that there were two beggars. Matthew doesn't mention either name. He just says there were two blind beggars by the roadside. They both cried out to the Lord, and they both were healed. Matthew records it that way. This is not a contradiction. Mark records it specifically about one of them, whose name was Bartimaeus, and he even names his father Timaeus. And scholars and historians say that because of this, this family gained real spiritual influence and prominence in the Christian church after Pentecost and in the early years of the gospel there in that area. So Jesus heals both men, but Mark focuses only on one, Bartimaeus. This is Jesus dealing with him. Bartimaeus is just exactly like every single Christian. What happened to him has absolutely happened truly in a spiritual way to anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were blind and your eyes were miraculously opened to see truth. I remember in the days before I came to know Christ, in my preteen years, my teenage years, I would go to church. I would hear sermons. I would hear testimonies. I would see Christian movies. I would hear people teach the Bible at times. And I could not see nor make sense out of any of it. Why? Was it their inadequacy? No. My mind was blind. I couldn't see truth. I couldn't comprehend it. It did not make sense. It did not register to me. And it was not attractive to me. I was blind. Now, it's also interesting that here, with Bartimaeus, this is the only person Jesus healed that their name is recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Lazarus is mentioned in John's Gospel, and I think some others. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only one person that Jesus ever healed is their name recorded, and that's Bartimaeus. What do we know of him? We know his condition and his plight, because it is indeed, was all of ours, and for some of us, perhaps this morning, certainly some younger ones, but perhaps even some older ones, it is their plight still this morning. What was true of him? What do we know of him, about him? All we know, first, is that he was blind. He did not have partial vision. He was not like the guy that Jesus touched once, and the guy said, well, I see men as trees walking. Jesus touches him again, and it's full. Now, this Bartimaeus didn't have partial vision. He was completely blind. He made his living as a beggar as a result. We don't know how long he had been, if he was born blind or if it came later, but he was completely blind. Probably was blind from birth. There were many in biblical times that were that way. He probably had never seen his mother's face, though he might have felt it. He'd never seen a sunset. He'd never seen colors changing, the changing colors of the season. When he walked, and even if he was ever walking on his own and he knew his route, he wouldn't be aware of new ditches that might be around him or the dangers. He couldn't enjoy the night stars at night. When he closed his eyes, when we close our eyes in darkness, we can imagine what it would be like to be completely blind. In fact, last night I woke up in the middle of the night and my eyes were open, but it was pitch black and I could see no light. And I thought, this would be something to really be blind and have no sight. At night, when he closed his eyes to sleep, it was exactly the same when he woke up in the morning. And it was a bright, beautiful morning. All was the same, blackness and darkness. That was his world. And you know what? It's our world today too, isn't it? Our planet is inhabited by blind people. People who are blind to their true condition. People, the Bible says, of whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Satan has fastened a firm blindfold on the minds of every unconverted person. That's happened through the fall and through our being dead and lost in sin. But there is a satanic blindness that's come. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. And you can tell them about the glorious Savior, and we certainly should, but you can tell someone about His glory, and when you're looking at them, you can see that they cannot see it. There is no attraction. You can quote John 3:16 to them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You can quote that glorious promise to them, and they're blind to it. No entry. You can tell them, listen, all of your sins could be forgiven if you will but believe this message and come. All your sins can be gone and wiped away. And some will say, what sin? I'm basically a good person. Blindness. You can read them the beauties of the Sermon on the Mount or Isaiah 53, and there is no sight. It doesn't mean anything to them. Man's plight and condition is blindness, spiritual blindness. Don't you? If you know and love Christ, don't you remember the days and the years before He opened your eyes? How blind you were to spiritual truth. How unattractive anything along that line was. You were completely blind and dead in your sin. No sight at all. Remember in John 9, Jesus healed a blind man? And Jesus said to him after that, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man said, who is He that I might believe in Him? And what did the Lord say? You have seen Him, and He it is that's talking to you. And then those incredible words of the Lord Jesus when He said this. Think of this. For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Isn't that amazing? I came to open the eyes of the blind, and I came to make blind the open eyes. Those who have their eyes open and don't even think that they're blind and have no need of anything, they have to become blind before they can truly see. And the Pharisees responded, what did they say? Were we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Are you blind or do you see? Were you once blind and now you truly see? Your eyes have been opened. Listen, all those around us, kind, good mothers who live next door to us are blind. Decent neighbors are blind. good coaches, conservative and liberal politicians, bankers and doctors and high school teachers, college professors and creative artists, and young children. Children, some of you this morning, you can see with these eyes, but you are blind spiritually. You don't see the Lord Jesus Christ for what He is. And your eyes must be opened if you are ever to know Him. Mm-hmm. Blindness covers us all. There was a 19th century writer, I think his name was H.G. Wells. He told a story about an explorer, a mountaineer, who was all the time tracing and exploring different mountain ranges. And he went to this remote area, and he was exploring in this mountain range, and he descended into an unknown valley that was not mapped. And he discovered there a remote people group, and everyone in the group was blind. All the people in it were blind. No one could see. So he lived among them for a while. And they welcomed him, and things were fine until they began to grow tired and angry even at his talk about all that he could see. Colors, blue skies, red flowers, stars. They thought he was crazy because none of them could see. So they said, "We need to get rid of this person. He's dangerous." Well, he slipped past them and went back over the range, back to the land where people could see. Which land do you live in? Do you live in a land where spiritual things, the things of the gospel, the things of Jesus Christ, the things of the Bible, the things of the fellowship of God's people, all that you're blind to and uninterested in, and it makes no sense, and you don't really want it, and it's boring? Do you live in the land of the blind? Or do you live in the land of those who now see? Bartimaeus was living in the land of darkness and blindness, but the only one who could change that was what? Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. When those who see tell you about the beauties of Christ, when those around you talk about Christianity and Christ and the gospel and spiritual things, and they have joy and excitement in it, in your mind and heart, secretly, do you think about them, you know, they're just too radical. That's just kind of foolish. That doesn't say anything about them. It says something about you. It shows you that you yet are blind. Or do you know, have you realized, I can't see truth. Christ isn't real to me yet. He's a stranger to me. I haven't had my eyes open. I don't understand what Christianity is really about. Do you know you're blind? And do you know that others around you, they see? And you need to be in the land of those who have sight. That was all Bartimaeus longed for. He didn't want riches. He didn't want anything else. Because he wanted to see, because his problem was he was blind. But not only that, his blindness had made him a what? A beggar. He was impoverished. He had nothing at all except wherever he lived and stayed, probably with extended family. He may have had a mat. He may have had some kind of bed. He had a place to come to beg every day. But basically, the text refers us to the fact that he had a what? He had a cloak. He had an outer garment that was probably heavy, and he possibly covered himself with it at night, or he possibly made it his pillow, and it kept him warm on cold days. But this was all that the text points us to that he even had. He was an impoverished beggar because of his blindness, and he had a cloak. So every day, what was his job? He was begging for mercy. He was dependent completely on those around him whose heart would be moved with human compassion and who would have mercy on him and would give him some pennies, give him some bread. He was there as a beggar, just surviving. There was nothing else he could do. He had nothing to sell. He had nothing to earn, nothing to merit. He was a social outcast, probably, utterly dependent on others' mercy for survival. Spiritually, so are we. We, before God, all men are not only blind, all men are bankrupt before God. And forever, human history traces the record of men and women trying to earn and merit and to put in their account of good works and self-righteousness something that will earn something and merit something before God. Good works. My good works are going to fill my account and they're going to outweigh my bad works. Surely there's something I can earn before God to get His attention, to get Him to love me, to get Him to accept me. No. We are absolutely poverty stricken before God. When I was saved, I felt that. And when I cried out to Christ, here's what I said, Lord, I have nothing to give You but my sin and myself. Here I am. As the hymn says, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. Do we see ourselves that way? Can we do something to bring ourselves sight? Can we heal our own sight where we can see? Can we make ourselves see? Can we make ourselves find God somehow? Can we gain acceptance? Can we merit or earn something that would provoke or cause God to be moved and say about us, we know they're more sincere than they are, so I'm going to respond to their human contribution and I'm going to give them grace. No. No. It is amazing. Bartimaeus was blind and he was a beggar. But there are some amazing things that this shows us about him and what it means to truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in verse 47. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. When he heard, he couldn't see, but he could hear. Hearing. Bartimaeus had never seen anything, he had only heard. He had heard some reports. He had heard some truth about Jesus because he calls him the Son of David. He had probably heard about other healings around Jericho because Christ's ministry was always creating a stir and a public chaotic scene for people to try to get near him. Bartimaeus had heard a lot about Jesus. And just think of this. When someone can't see, sight can come through what they hear. How do you gain your sight spiritually? If you're blind to spiritual things and you're trying to figure it all out, you're trying to reason it out, you're trying to see it, you're trying somehow to gain something, your only hope is in the truth that you can hear. You better start hearing closely. You better make sure you gain your spiritual sight by hearing the truth. Hearing is what is necessary to gain sight. This blind man heard some things. His knowledge came through hearing truth and reality about Jesus of Nazareth. Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes when God speaks. Bartimaeus' ears were the vehicle through which God in Christ would give sight to his blind eyes. Truth comes to our ears through preaching, through teaching, through hearing sermons, through reading the Bible. Truth comes to our minds. Truth enters our ears. And as we hear it and it registers and the Spirit of God makes it real, suddenly our spiritual eyes are open and we see truth. Hearing. So, perhaps you don't know if you have sight yet. Some of you children, you don't have spiritual sight yet. Christ is not real. You can't figure it out on your own. So, you know what you need to do? You need to really listen to the truth. Listen to the preaching. Pay attention. When your mother or father or others talk to you about the Lord Jesus, talk to you about the gospel, really give your attention. Listen to it. Let the truth of it be real to you. When they talk to you about the fact that we are lost sinners, perishing sinners, needy, that our hearts are evil, and we need God's grace, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, that applies to you. Listen. Hear what they're saying. This blind man heard some things. And we must remember always that truth, saving truth, comes not by observation, but it comes with knowledge communicated to our ears. And it's truth that we hear and believe that is saving. Bartimaeus heard some things. Now I want you to notice what happened to him in 48 and 49. It says, many rebuked him. Now picture this. You talk about peer pressure. There's a great crowd, and it says that not just one or two, when he cried out for Jesus, he was interrupting things. And it says in verse 48, many, many rebuked him. He cries out, and they start saying, shut up, old man! Nobody asked you. He's not interested in you. They rebuked him like that. Did that stop him? He was desperate and determined to get help from Christ. If you want to be saved, you can be. Are you desperate and determined for it? Will you let the opinions, the peer pressure, the fads, public opinion, family, will you let any of it deter you from getting to Jesus Christ? He didn't. He was desperately determined. So he cries out all the more. He uses their opposition as a catapult and a stimulus. He's going to keep going. He wanted his sight more than anything else. He didn't care about pleasing people. He didn't care if they screamed at him and mistreated him. He wanted to get to Christ. He wanted Christ's attention. And he kept crying out. And Jesus, it says in verse 49, did what? It literally means he stood still. He didn't budge. He stood still. This was the cry he hears. He stood still, and what did he say? Calling. Now, isn't this a fickle world we live in? The very people that are telling him to shut up, now they say, take heart, get up, he's calling you. The world, it'll change. Every second. One time they'll be against you, the next day they'll be for you. Forget the world. It's messed up. But what they said to him was right. Take heart. Get up. He's calling for you. Listen, if you don't know Christ today, as a child, as a young person, if you don't know Christ today, this is what the gospel calls you.
take heart. Come. Get up. Get out of your neutrality. Get out of your indecision. Get out of your doubts. Hear Him calling to you, and you get to Christ with all your heart. Get up and come to Him. Why tarry ye any longer? Why sit there till you die in your sins? Come to Him. He welcomes sinners. All the fitness He requires is that you feel your need of Him. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you. Bartimaeus, he made a beeline, boy. He threw that cloak off. His security blanket, the only thing valuable, he threw it off. And he made a mad dash. He might have stumbled in his blindness, but he got there. He sprang up and came to Jesus. Any lost soul who hears the gospel and hears that free, gracious invitation that goes to every soul. Because you believe in the doctrines of grace, the Reformed faith, doesn't mean the gospel call and the free invitation of the gospel is not to all. It's to everybody. Every soul around us. The free offer of the gospel and the free invitation of Christ to come to Him is genuine. He calls all. The gospel calls all. Take up. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you. And He came. And then Jesus asked Him a question. And He asked you this. What do you want me to do for you? Well, Lord, I'd like to have a great retirement. I'd like to have a bigger house, newer car. What if you aren't a Christian? Christ says to you through His Word, what would you like me to do for you? You want your sins forgiven? You want your sight restored where you can see spiritually? You want a new heart? You want to transform life? You want to be a new creation? Like 2 Corinthians 5 says, would you like your sins forgiven? Who's a candidate for forgiveness and for heaven and for cleansing and for a new life? Who wants what I offer? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Children, if you heard the Lord Jesus say to you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say to Him? Would you say, Lord, I've got a bad heart. I want you to wash my sins away. I want to know you. What do you want me to do for you? Christ says. Answer the question before Him. Go home today and think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only healer of our soul, the only one who can open our blinded eyes, the only one who can forgive our sins and wash us and save us, says to every soul, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus had the right answer. I want to see. I just want to see. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see the glory of your face. Paul talks about how that God shines into our hearts and makes real the glory of God in the face of Christ. And we see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Our hearts are open to seeing for the first time. And any time any sinner really gets a glimpse of Him by the Holy Spirit, it's transforming. But every sinner's mind is blinded and cannot see any attraction in Christ until their eyes are open. But that's what He does. Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want my sins gone. I want to know You. I want You to wash me. I want to be made whole. I want to be healed. That's the cry of a sinner to a Savior who will answer. And anyone who will come that way He will say the same thing to them. Healed. Go your way. You have a new life. You're forgiven. Your faith has made you well. Now, does faith save us? Does faith heal us? No. Christ does that. But it's always through faith. We come to Him in dependent trust alone. And faith brings us to the living Savior. And He opens our eyes and forgives us and washes us and gives us new life. Where would some of us be right now if that hadn't happened? In hell. In a mental hospital. In an alcohol treatment center. On our seventh marriage. Messed up. Ruined. Insane. Wrecked. And some of us were heading there. But look what God has done. We're all just like Bartimaeus. Just blind beggars on the roadside of life with no future, no purpose, no hope. And here came Jesus. And you had the desperate situation, and the Spirit of God calls you to hear this is Jesus of Nazareth, and your heart cried out and turned to Him. And He transformed you. And now, you know Him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Do you see Christ Jesus as glorious? Or are you still blind to Him? What do you want Him to do for you? Take heart. Rise up. He's calling for you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the record of Bartimaeus. How wonderful it is to see what the Lord Jesus does for needy sinners who cannot change themselves. A blind beggar, a prostitute, a demonized man. Oh Lord, thank You for the power of the gospel. Lord, we pray that You would work in us and work through us. Father, anyone among us that is yet blind, we pray for the opening of the eyes. We pray for the hearing of the ear. We pray, Lord, that they would rise up and cry out to Christ, knowing that sinners Jesus will receive. Sound His word of grace to all. Christ receiveth sinful men and women and boys and girls. Thank You for Your word. This morning, Father, in His name we pray. Amen.